The NPR Shop offers compilations of music featured on NPR programming, including the new I Heard It on NPR box set at npr.org.
From NPR in Los Angeles, I'm Tavis Smiley. Marine biology is not a field often associated with African Americans for reasons I suspect that are both stereotypically untrue and that have some basis in reality. But in recent months, as we explained in one report on this program not long ago, there has been an effort underway to make the oceans relevant to Black Americans and, for that matter, other people of color as well. The campaign is called Shifting Baselines, and it's being spearheaded by a group of white and Black marine biologists and oceanographers, including one of the world's best-known fisheries scientists, Daniel Pauly of the University of British Columbia. What's lesser known about Professor Pauly is, get this, he's of African descent. He was in L.A. recently attending a fundraising event with Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, sponsored by the group Oceana. And he joins me now in our studios. Professor Pauly, nice to see you, sir.
Nice to see you, too.
Nice to see you, and nice to see that you're Black.
Yes, actually, I am.
You really are.
Yes, I really am.
So first of all, what exactly is being done, sir, to help make the oceans, the seas, and the whole issue of oceanic ecosystems relevant to Black folk and other people of color?
Until very recently, there was always this perception that jobs, so far there are jobs for Black folks in the maritime industries,
right,
and protecting the environment would be opposed things. You do one or you do the other.
Right.
And what is happening, though, and part of my work has contributed to showing this, is that the bottom is falling out under fisheries and industries that rely on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so to that extent, then you are talking about a contradiction that has to cease. People have to see that protecting the environment and protecting jobs is part of the same thing.
I read a New York Times profile of you not long ago that said many of the major solutions, in this article, you suggested that many of the solutions to the ocean's problems are really relatively simple, but that nothing is really going to happen until the public rises up and demands action. How likely is that to happen? How far away are we from that happening? And I guess what happens if that never happens?
Basically, before big change happens, it's very difficult for people to imagine it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
One example I use is smoking. In the 60s, 70s, everybody was smoking. I'm a non-smoker,
mm-hmm.
right? Everybody was smoking, and now you can go to all kind of public events and nobody smokes.
Mm-hmm.
It was unconceivable before. The civil right must have been a similar thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
In the 50s, we couldn't do certain things, lots of them.
Sure.
And now we can. And before, you probably, for many, it was inconceivable what became possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the changes that have to happen with regards to our interaction with sea animals, in a sense, they are also largely unconceivable. But you see, up to now, fisheries and the destruction of marine life was something that the fishing industry and government did together, and the public was not interested. We're fed a diet of beautiful pictures on TV, and we think everything is fine, and we go to the Caribbean and everything is fine, so far we can see. but there is a policy not to show us what is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot show devastated seascapes on TV, for example. And so people don't know that the sea has changed a lot. And this thing about shifting baseline, which is a term I formulated in the 90s, in 95, in a paper, that shifting baseline thing is the fact that we don't learn from our elders how the world was, and then we think everything is fine because that's what we see, but we don't know that it was much better before.
Tell me how bad our seas are at this point. How bad off are we?
Well, if you could imagine what is known as the shelf, the relatively shallow waters down to about 600 feet around the continent,
mm-hmm.
it would not look at all like a forest with animals living on the bottom, because these things that look like plants are actually animals that live on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But it more would look like a junkyard, one of these backyards where people throw things,
mm-hmm.
because it has been trawled, you know, this mode of fishing where you drag on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so you wouldn't have a landscape with forest and underwater, right? A landscape with forest and savanna and park. But rather you would have like a junkyard, a monstrous junkyard with lots of junks on the ground. Because we don't have the equivalent of parks underwater. The public doesn't know that. People assume that part of the sea is protected from fishing, but it isn't. So you can go and plow when you dive, you always go to the nice spots in the Caribbean and so on. And when you see things on TV, they're always beautiful. But you never see the part where industrial fishing has taken place, because it gets really depressing. And we certainly have lost more than 90% of what was there a few decades ago.
Let me ask you a question I suspect you've been asked any number of times, so forgive me for asking it again. It is something that fascinates me because I've talked about it so many times with regard to the environment, generally speaking, and that is that those in the environmental movement have to do a better job of making the environmental movement here in America look more like America. That is to say, we've got to see more people of color if we're trying to get people of color
yes.
to take these matters seriously. Where are we at on that front or in that fight?
Well, I must say that my interaction with, I'm in the board of two large organizations that mm-hmm. are devoted to saving the environment, but my main interaction is with Oceana that we mentioned recently.
Sure.
And there I must say that there is a strong feeling that something that this reaching out to the black community has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, it is very difficult to get professionals that have learned and that have studied in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because lots of well-educated black folks, they go into education
mm-hmm.
and into health, medicine, law,
mm-hmm.
and very few in science. And I have a few colleagues in my discipline who are trying to push black kids into studying marine science
mm-hmm.
and to reconnect with a maritime heritage that actually we had much more strongly in earlier times. There is a book called Blackjack that shows that there were lots of during slavery time, there were lots of people who actually were engaging in maritime activities in Chesapeake Bay and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And this heritage of being on boats and so on has been eroded under Jim Crow. And to reestablish that maritime heritage is something we have to do now.
How do we do that?
Oh, I think the universities are churning out graduates that have to see that science is accepting of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy, because most of the ones who have created the various scientific disciplines,
mm-hmm.
white. And I remember when I was young, I had to imagine myself doing stuff, and it wasn't easy. And now I can, I guess, when people tell me, oh my gosh, you're doing this, so therefore I can't do it. So I do go to people and show them that it is actually quite straightforward to do.
Mm-hmm. I assume that for whatever reason or reasons you remain hopeful, which is why you were here in L.A., why you accepted our invitation to come talk to me, and why, more importantly, you do the work that you do every single day. Tell me why you remain hopeful.
Because you can always turn things around. And also, as I said before, because the change that happen, that do happen, you cannot really see them before they have happened. So you have to push until things open up, like the civil rights thing,
mm-hmm.
until things open up, which you only dream of, but you cannot see them on the ground before they have happened.
Mm. Daniel Pauly is a fisheries scientist at the University of British Columbia and one of the leaders of the Shifting Baselines campaign to make the oceans and seas relevant to everyone. Professor Pauly, an honor to meet you. Thanks for coming to see us.
Thank you very much.